Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the wonderfully named Dan's Journal for 2024. I'm never going to stop making fun of that name until I create a new and better one. But if you don't know, this is a solo podcast from myself, Dan LaMarca, on the Circleback Podcast feed, where I kind of just check in periodically throughout the year, about once a month-ish. This one's a little bit longer. I had the birth of my second child, which was very exciting. So that pushed me back a little bit, but I'll tell you what, doesn't stop the gaming. Nothing gets in the way. Old gamer Dan playing his games. I have a bunch of games to talk about today. If you recall, last year, the only thing we did at Circleback Gaming for the podcast is doing all of our Game of the Year stuff because everyone's lives are busy and schedules are hard when this isn't any real source of income where we can dedicate time to it. So since it's just a passion thing, something I missed from last year was not being able to look back on the podcast and what did I think about it at the time. And, you know, it's been a few months since I played this game. I played it in January. Now it's December. So I really wanted to do like a journal style thing of just me hopping on here, talking about the games I'm playing, what I think about them. So that's what I'm doing here. This is our third episode, I think. Maybe fourth. But I am hopping on here to talk about a lot of different things. I wanted to get this episode out. I'm recording on the 9th of May. It will either be posted today or tomorrow on the 10th. I wanted to get this podcast out because today is like Indiepocalypse. There's a million indie games coming out today that I've been really, really looking forward to. Or some fun surprises, specifically games that I really, really want to play. Animal Well, which is that first game being published by Dunkey. It's a 2D side-scrolling Metroidvania with the thing that's been teased to me by people in the industry is it's got a lot of Fez and The Witness style environmental puzzle-y stuff. Everyone's being very vague about it because apparently this stuff's really, really cool. So I'm so stoked on it. Extremely high reviews coming out today. It's like at an 89 or 90 on OpenCritic right now as we speak, which is pretty cool. Another one is Crow Country, which is a throwback PS1 survival horror style game, kind of a love letter to like Silent Hill and the original Resident Evil games. Looks really, really cool. Also getting really great reviews. And then there are a couple others that are on my radar, like Cryptmaster, which the whole game is controlled via the keyboard. So you're like having different typing puzzles. It's like an old school dungeon crawler. Looks really neat. And then the other one, which I didn't know much about until today, actually, and all the hype around it, is it's got a really weird name. It's called 1000 Cross Resist. So it's like the number 1000 with an X and then the word resist. The comparisons that I've seen, obviously it's an indie game, it's not going to be the same scale, but the things that people are talking about are like Nier Automata, like some really cool, interesting stuff. So I am really stoked to hear these amazing things from people that I respect in the industry. So I wanted to get this episode out because I played a bunch of games since we last spoke, per se. And I wanted to talk about some of those games on here before I have this whole other group of indie games that I'm playing. So off the bat, I'm going to say last time we spoke, I talked about Unicorn Overlord. I talked about Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. And I talked about Dragon's Dogma 2. I will say, I did not play any more Rebirth, and I did not play any more Unicorn Overlord since we last spoke. I did, however, beat Dragon's Dogma 2, so let's just kick off there. I was very glowing about Dragon's Dogma 2 on the previous episode, so if you listen to that, you know that I am very much in love with this game. I will say, that love didn't stop. 68 hours, I played it, did most quests that I wanted to do, did a ton of stuff, did the true ending, which I will not spoil here. I think that this game is a bona fide masterpiece. I really, really love a lot of the vocations that you get at the end. The Magic Archer has some really insane stuff that's super fun to use. I think that the story really turned around on me. I think there were some of the side quests that I did since we last spoke had really interesting like narrative implications and how some characters could die or live based on your choices. And then the final bit, again, I can't spoil it, but this game does some insane stuff in its like true ending. And I can't wait to talk about it come Game of the Year time, but there are multiple moments that are high contenders for like moment of the year for me from this game. I won't speak too much about Dragon's Dogma 2 because I talked so much about it on the previous episode, but I just wanted to tie it in a neat little bow and say that it is currently my game of the year. I have a passion for it that is usually reserved for games that become all-time favorites of mine. So I think that this may end up being like on my top 25 all-time list. I loved it that much, which is really saying something. It's pretty far and away my game of the year so far. Obviously, a lot of good games still to come out this year. We'll see what the year brings. But I absolutely adore Dragon's Dogma 2, and I think it really carries itself through to the end, especially in that true ending stuff. So yeah, that's Dragon's Dogma 2. I'll talk more of spoilery stuff at the end of the year. I also played a game that I'm sure you all know about because it's gone very viral. It's a very popular game. It's called Content Warning. I saw this game pop up, like, surprise release. It was free for, like, the first couple of days that it was released, and then it was going to be $8. It is a multiplayer first-person game, very similar to, now I'm going to forget the name of it, Lethal Company. Very similar in a lot of ways to Lethal Company, of, like, all right, it's you and your buddies, your online multiplayer, you're playing as, like, a group, exploring. But the big shtick about Content Warning is one of you has a handheld like camcorder and you're out on this adventure to make a viral video. That's like the pitch of the game. So you can at any point, if you're the one holding the camera, you can equip the camera and hit record and you'll record exactly what your vision is seeing. You basically want to record like silly shit that is happening while you're on these horrific journeys because it's like this beautiful, colorful, like funny, silly looking world. You and your buddies all have like these big like TV screen heads, and then it's like, all right, are you ready to go on our mission? And you go into this thing called the diving bell, which is like this giant compartment. It's like a big elevator that goes down into the core of the earth. And you guys go down, and when you get out, it's all like black and white, really dark, scary shit. And what you're doing is like you're running across these like weird monsters and like just strange creatures that are dangerous to you. So what you're doing to try to create a viral video is like, you know, obviously recording your friends getting chased or killed or maimed or, you know, close calls. You can turn the camera around so it's like selfie mode. So if you're running away from something, you can turn it to face you. It's a really, really good concept for a game. I think they have some interesting progression where like you can get different effects that you can use in the video and different items like flashlights and different types of flashlights. There's a like a boom mic that you can get, a boom mic where it like totally positionally affects the audio significantly rather than being this camcorder that's capturing everything. You can do it like, you know, directly at somebody. You can do a handheld mic like you know, would expect at like a karaoke bar or something, and you can like push it out towards the other player and pull it in towards your face like you're interviewing them. There's just a lot of room for like creative, silly shit. And I think in this type of game, I think it's extremely successful. Now, is this my type of game that I like, am in love with and go to bat for? No. But I think if you like this type of game, this is a really good one of those. I had a lot of fun. I played a couple of rounds only, really enjoyed it. But it's not something I'm like dying to go back to. But that's Content Warning. It's, I believe, $8 on Steam. Really fun, really silly. Something I should have mentioned, when you're recording, everything you record is your video. So you have to be like, if you want to have like a coherent or interesting like through line on your video, you need to pick and choose where you're going to record. You can't just leave it running. Plus, the battery is very short. Your video ends up being like a minute and a half, I want to say, something like that. So there's some fun stuff you can do with like editing in real time, where it's like, all right, I'm going to hit record and I'm going to say, hey, this is me and my buddy, blah, 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 and then shut it off and then turn it back on while like your buddy's standing in the corner, like Blair Witch style, like, you know, shit like that. It's a big sandbox for funny stuff to do with your friends. I think it's a really neat thing. I like it a lot. It's not something that is up my alley per se, but I'm glad I gave it a shot and I'm glad I played a little bit of it. I think it's really neat. So that's Content Warning. Good name also. Next game on my list, I always go chronologically here, is Pepper Grinder. Pepper Grinder is a 2D side scroller, in which you have a giant drill that you use to drill through certain areas of the map. And if I'll give you a for instance, so if you're walking on a flat platform, like on a 2D side scroller, and then underneath there's like a big piece of sand in like a U shape, you can dig underneath and then pop out the other side. And when you come out of the other side, you get like launched, like you get a little bit of like boost coming out. So you could imagine what this is going to do, like platforming wise. Very shortly into the game, you get a grappling hook. So now you're pairing up, you know, popping out, using a boost with your drill, grabbing a grappling hook. It is just a really rock solid platformer. Great style, nice pixel art. Kind of reminds me of like a little bit more detailed, a little higher res version of like Olia, if you remember that side-scrolling game, as far as the look goes. But yeah, I think this is a really, really solid platformer. It's all level-based, so it's like, you know, you get the overworld map kind of like on in a Mario game. You're going to 1-1, 1-2, 1-3. There are secret levels. And once you get into the level, it's all right, get through this level. There are 5 secret coins for you to collect throughout the level. If you choose to do so, you can use those coins to unlock basically like, you know, little cosmetics or a key to unlock a special secret area, you know, stuff like that. There's not that much more to it than what I said. But I think what it's doing in a 2D side scroller is really, really good. And I would recommend this for anybody that's itching for a 2D platforming side scroller. I think it's solid. I played probably about 2 to 3 hours, and it looks like I'm a little more than halfway through, so it doesn't look like too long of a game. But again, love the style, music is great, and the game feel is fantastic. Like it's a rock solid platformer. I would definitely recommend it. There's usually a boss fight at the end of the world, you know, each world, and those I've enjoyed so far, the 3 that I've done. But yeah, Pepper Grinder, I'm playing it on Switch. I believe it was like $20, something like that. I said this last time and then I didn't take my own advice that I should look up what it's on and how much before I get on here. But it is on Switch, Windows, Mac. So it looks like Switch and PC, $15. plays great on Switch. No reason not to play it on Switch, I will say. Which can easily transition us to the next game, which is Another Crab's Treasure. Another Crab's Treasure is you probably know about it because it had a really good marketing cycle. It is a Souls-like where you play as a little hermit crab, making your way adventuring through the ocean. So there's a lot to talk about with this. I started and finished this game. I beat this game, and I gotta say, I really, really like this game. I think it's a really solid game. It is far from perfect, and I'll get into what I mean by that. But it is a really, really fun Souls-like, great style. Love the story. Love a lot about it. So, Another Crab's Treasure. Right off the bat, I'm going to walk you through what my experience was playing this game. I was like, oh, Another Crab's Treasure comes out. I want to play it. I had Dragon's Dogma 2 going on. I love to have one game on my portable systems, which would be either Switch or Steam Deck, and one game on my like consoles, just in case, you know, kids are watching the TV, or, you know, I want to play something. I want to be able to bounce and play something when the time arises. So I was like, oh, perfect. I'm playing Dragon's Dogma on PS5. Let me get Another Crab's Treasure on Switch. So I download the game. I start to play, and it ran terribly, like beyond terribly, like throwback to like early PS2 days, like pop in from 10 feet away, like horrible frame rate issues, lot of bad stuff technically. So in about a half hour in, I actually looked up how to get a refund on Nintendo Switch. And it had nothing to do with the game, like the game itself. It has to do with the performance. It looked like it was going to be a pain in the ass. It's not really a refund policy on Switch as much as there is for some of the other consoles and obviously on Steam. So I was like, okay, I'll just power through, see if it gets any better. It got way worse to the point where I was about 3 hours into this game. And I was like, I think I just need to buy it again somewhere else because I'm really enjoying it, but the performance is getting in the way. Like, I'm talking like you enter a new area, it's single digit frames for like 30 seconds. Like, horrible, horrible. So I knew I liked the game. I knew I liked what it was going for. And I just was getting so frustrated by the performance. So I was like, you know what? I should have checked beforehand. Is this game on Game Pass? Because everyone knows that I'm a big Game Pass advocate, which is becoming a more complicated statement as Microsoft continues to make terrible decisions and close down amazing studios. But I digress. It was on Game Pass. So I said, oh, okay. Let me download it on the Xbox. Make sure. Hey, is it really the Switch that's bogging this down, or is the game just not well optimized? Pull it up on Xbox, night and day. It runs amazing on Xbox. Like, I'm actually keeping my frames. I'm not getting the pop in. Everything looks so much clearer. I'm like, okay, well, this is obviously what I have to do. But now I'm 3 hours in on Switch. I'm in this weird spot of, what the hell do I do? So I said, you know what? I like this game enough. I'm gonna go and run through everything I did on Xbox. And sure enough, I did. And I kept going. And I am very happy that I did, because I beat the game and I really, really like the game. So let me talk about what the game is after taking you through that journey. So it's a third-person action game, very much in the vein of a Souls game. They literally call themselves a Souls-like. Like, that, this is what they're going for. You have block on L1, attack on R1, special attack on R2, you have sprint on B, you know, it's like everything, you know, everything you'd expect from Souls is there. You have lock on enemies. The biggest difference is, so you, it, before I get to the difference, you collect, instead of souls, they're called microplastics, which goes very much in line with the themes of this game, which is pollution and how it affects the ocean, which they do in a way that's very humorous while also having some really good moments of poignancy. The biggest, so you have microplastics like souls. If you die, your microplastics get left behind until you go back and collect them. You rest at these, they're called moon snail shells, very similar to bonfires. So all the trappings are there for what souls likes are, right? The biggest difference is you never get different weapons. Instead, what you get is different shells. And the shells, because you're a hermit crab, you can bounce around between different shells, there's a huge variety of different shells. One of them may be a bottle cap from like a soda bottle, right? That each shell has a specific bar, that's a blue bar above your health bar. And whenever you block an attack, your shell takes damage. So your blue bar is shrinking down until it ultimately breaks. Then you need to grab a new shell. Depending on what the shell is, that blue bar will be longer or shorter. If you're using a shot glass, it's a tiny little nothing because it's made of glass. If you're using, there's one that I really like that's like a metal valve, like a plumbing valve that you can wear as your shell, and it has this massive, bar of health. But the other thing that's cool is each individual shell has a specific special skill that's linked to it. So to use those two examples, right, the bottle cap, or three examples I said, the bottle cap is, it's a thing called pop off, and it's a different attack than your normal attack. And it's kind of like a quick little upward thrust that you can kind of chain together to damage an enemy multiple times. So you have these umami charges, they're called, that each time you use your special shell ability, you use a certain amount of umami charges. Usually it's one, certain abilities are two or three if they're extra strong. The shot glass has an ability called shards, where you essentially go into the underneath the shot glass and put out shards of glass on top. So anyone that attacks you, they take damage and get like stunned a little bit. The pressure valve, the plumbing valve that I mentioned, has an ability called fizzle, which is just you shoot out a bunch of bubbles, and then as enemies get close to them, they like heat seek into them and do like little chip damage. So huge variety. Another one that I really, really liked was Another Life, where you get, in my case, I was using the skull. It's like a fake plastic human skull. Maybe it's a real human skull, I'm not sure. But it's a skull that you have to use like three umami charges. And then if you die while wearing the skull, you get revived at half health, like automatically, which is a pretty cool ability. So if you get hit when you're not blocking, your health bar goes down. If you get, basically, if you're blocking when you get hit, it takes away from the shell life. If you're not blocking, it takes away from your life. There's also a parry, which if you're under your shell and then you release to come out of your shell right as the enemy hits, you'll parry them and they'll kind of get knocked backwards and you have an opportunity to do like a stagger attack, which can be pretty strong if you can nail it. But yeah, that's the big shtick of the game that makes it a little bit different, is you get these different shells with a huge variety of abilities, and you can essentially, pick and choose along the way, but they want you to use these shells up. Everywhere you go, there are going to be more shells. There's going to be a can of soda for you to go into. There's going to be, I'm thinking of something specific and I don't know the word for it. It's like a fuse, kind of. The bottom of a light bulb. There are like, 50, 60 shells that you can get that are all very different, varying degrees of strong. And some of the abilities are reused, like that ability Fizzle that I mentioned. that you can get from the pressure release valve. There is also a soda can also does fizzle. I mean, it makes sense. They both put out would put out bubbles as air comes out. That's the idea. But maybe you have like a banana peel or a sushi roll that if you use as a shell, you get the munch ability, which you eat up part of the shell's health to replenish some of your own health. You also get these things called heart kelp pods, which are these little hearts that you eat that heal you a certain amount. You can find items in the world that upgrade the amount of heart kelps you can use. You will also find like replenishments in the wild, but otherwise you replenish them when you rest at the moon snail shell. So very similar to your Estus flask. You do meet a blacksmith that so you upgrade your fork, which is your weapon at. It's pretty cool. The cosmetic changes as you upgrade the fork, I think, was really neat. So yeah, mechanically, that's pretty much where you're at. Oh, you also have a grappling hook. This grappling hook is, you can use it for two things. One, you can grapple up to like plastic netting, which is like draped across everywhere to help you climb up. And then there are like fish hooks floating that can get you across from platform to platform. You can grapple to and from them. So that's the main use is in platforming, but you can also use it in combat. So you can eventually, if you level up, you have this currency that you can level up to like upgrade your character outside of stats, like to upgrade like specific things. And one of the things you can upgrade is, oh, now you can grapple to an enemy or you can pull an enemy towards you with your grapple, which is pretty cool and super fun to use. So yeah, the main modes are obviously the soulsy combat with your shells and the special abilities. And then there is a lot of platforming, and that platforming is pretty good. I think it's fun to grapple around and to, you have kind of a, you have a jump and then you can hold it to kind of like, you know, wave your arms in the air and like hover across. I think it feels pretty good. It is a very glitchy game. And there's a lot of stuff in this game that you can just see. I don't know if it's just the scope is too big for the size of the team. The team's name is Agro Crab. And they are a little bit on the smaller side from what I know. And this is a pretty big game scope-wise. I mean, I think it took me about 15, maybe about 18 hours to beat. And I did a lot of the extra stuff. So maybe about 20 hours. But they're huge 3D environments. A lot of the geometry is like a little wonky. Like you can find yourself like stuck in between a couple of different surfaces. You can fall through the world sometimes. I was hitting this glitch with a boss where she was putting me through the floor and then I couldn't die. And I just had to turn the game off and reload it. Like, stuff like that. That's why I said it's a far from perfect game. But I really love the combat. I think it's really solid. Some of the boss designs and level design, especially as the game goes on. The last couple of areas, I was really, really impressed with the level design and how you're, like, solving getting around. And then some of the bosses, man, there were really good boss moments in this game. And some of them I'll be talking about later in the year when we come to Game of the Year time. That's the stuff that really sets this game apart from a lot of other Souls-likes, is they really nailed a lot of it. And then you take into account the characters and writing, very humorous dialogue. I think it's really well written. It's like, it's got that... It's so lazy to just name other games that have good writing, but you know how Night in the Woods, which we all know we love here at Circleback Gaming, Night in the Woods has like a knowingly like silly slash like internet ironic vibe. This game has some of that in some of their characters, but a lot of the story is just very straightforward and like heartfelt and genuine. And some of the places that it goes, there are some really great story moments that'll like break your heart. And I really, I think this game is punching above its weight in a lot of ways. And I think its story is one of them. I was really impressed. They have a decent amount of voice acting in this game. Like certain cutscene moments with voice acting. I was very impressed with this game in a lot of ways. And for me, this is in the upper half of my game of the year list so far. I think it's really tremendous. I want more people to play it. That's another Crab's Treasure. I don't have too much to say other than that. It takes that Souls formula, puts it in a cute world, and doesn't compromise from like the difficulty. It's never going to be on par with what a Dark Souls game would feel like to play as far as level design, combat design. I mean, that's just too high of a bar. But to be like a little bit lower, but also be so charming story-wise and so heartfelt. I don't know. I just, this game really, it has a warm spot in my heart, and I think I'm going to continue to feel that way throughout the year as I'm playing other stuff. So another Crab's Treasure. This game, like I mentioned, is on Game Pass. I would not recommend it on Switch at all. And I'm sorry to the developers. It's really does not run well at all. But it's $30 if you want it on Steam. And it looks like it's on everything. It's on PlayStation, Xbox, obviously on Game Pass. I really recommend it. I think more people should be playing it. Last one for me on this episode before I dive into this onslaught of indies. Played a little game that came out of nowhere for me here. Really uninspiring name here. Mini Shoot Adventures. This sounds like a game that you would find on like the App Store, you know, being advertised for you on the App Store. But it's not that at all. It is a really fantastic game. I'll give you the quick pitch. It is a top-down shoot 'em up, like a Geometry Wars-y top-down. You use a dual-stick shooter. The right stick, you don't have to hit another button. You just move the right stick around, and it shoots out your gun. You're controlling this little ship with the left stick, and you're shooting with the right stick. And what it is, though, is it's like a Zelda-like game. If you took Zelda and made it a twin stick shoot 'em up, this is what you get. And I think it's really successful in a lot of ways. It's got like a very basic but easy to read art style, kind of like almost like a Flash looking bubbly art game, kind of like Alien Hominid if you took that and made it into a top-down twin stick shooter. But what you're doing is you start in this area and you're playing a Zelda game where you're fighting these other ships that are around and collecting currency, leveling your ship up, and then you're going into dungeons, beating bosses, and gaining new abilities that allow you to traverse the world differently. So one example would be you gain this ability to hold down the trigger to expend your boost energy to now destroy objects or like anything with a crack in it. So like a wall that's cracked, you know, kind of like what you would expect to put a bomb at. Now you can shoot through those. And it opens up all this different stuff, right? It opens up new caves to go into. It opens up new areas that you haven't been to, in addition to being a new offensive weapon. It is a very straightforward game. There's not much like extra to say about it other than, hey, this game's rock solid. But the secrets in this, I 100% of this game. It took me about 10 hours. I 100%ed it. I looked over every nook and cranny of the map. It has a really cool thing where like you gain a map piece, like you find it in the world, and then it just puts a, you know, like 1/8 of the map up there. And then once you find one of your little ship friends, they go back to your home base. You can meet him back there and have him now look at that map piece that you found and do a scan. And it marks all the caves and areas on the map, along with a little check mark next to the cave if you've gotten everything out of it. So that kind of stuff, that quality of life stuff, goes a long way here. Eventually you gain an ability, or you get like the special, you can purchase a special item that marks everything on the map and gives you an overall percentage. So I was at like 98.1% for a while, and I saw this marker on this cave. I went over there, you know, dug around. I saw that I missed a secret area, and found that item. Tons of secrets, a lot of cool optional boss stuff, optional areas. I think that the design of the encounters, the design of the bosses, the exploration, the puzzling, I there's nothing bad to say about this game. Imagine a top-down Zelda game, Link to the Past, but you're doing a twin-stick shooter. Like, that's kind of what they did here, and they nailed it. And Mini Shoot Adventures is one of the best games I played this year, and I snuck it in. I finished it last night, the secret ending, and I really, really loved it. I think this game is just a tremendous, simple little game, but everything it does, like, it feels so solid. The frame rate is solid. The upgrades are amazing. You know, the different abilities that you get. You have the, you know, you eventually get the ability to, like, put a smart bomb around you that destroys, you know, bullets in the area, and it'll stun enemies in the area. There eventually you get a slow down time ability that everything around you, like, slows, and you can maneuver your way through these tight areas where the bullets have an opening. I think it's just, there's so much to like about it. I think it's got a really good, the idea of the way that you upgrade, other than buying, basically bosses drop like this bigger currency, but every enemy drops this like little currency that fills up this little crystal in the top. And each time you do, it says level up, and you can go choose where you want to spend those points. So it could be like fire rate, bullet speed, movement speed, damage. You know, there's a bunch of different things that you can put it into. And at any time you can remove points and add points. So you can just be like, all right, I don't really use that one that much. Let me take a couple of points away and add them to damage, whatever you want to do. And doing that just as you travel the world and fight enemies is just so, so smart. The enemy variety is really good. When you get to new areas of the map, there's new enemies. They do a good job of having enemies that have unique bullet patterns so that they're like a new kind of annoying to try to figure out how to fight. I really have a lot of great things to say about the design of this game. I'm glad to see, I just looked at it, it's got 1,800 Steam reviews, which is awesome. I thought this was maybe a hidden gem, but it looks like people are really enjoying it. But yeah, this I cannot recommend this enough. I absolutely love this game. It's one of my favorites of the year. It's $15 on Steam. I will say, if you have a Steam Deck, it runs fantastically well on Steam Deck. I played the entirety of it on Steam Deck. It was wonderful. So yeah, that's Mini Shoot Adventures. I don't think there's too much to say about it other than what I said. But you would be in for a rock solid twin stick shooter in a Zelda-like world, and I think that's just such a great pairing. So that's it for me. I played through those games since we last spoke. It's nice to have finished three games since we last spoke. I do intend on getting back to Rebirth, and I do intend on getting back to Like a Dragon, Infinite Wealth. I do want to play these indie games more, though. So I next time we speak, I may just be running through different indies that I beat because there's so many of them. But we shall see. Next week is Lorelei and the Laser Eyes, which is like one of my most anticipated games of the year, from Samogo, who made, you know, the great puzzle games like Your Walk and Device 6, and then most recently did Sayonara Wild Hearts, which I absolutely loved. I love that studio. I'll play anything they make. And then Whoops, Lorelei and the Laser Eyes seems like its biggest inspirations are like the Witness puzzles and Return of the Oberdin, which is just like, you know, obviously way up my alley if you know anything about me. So I'll be playing a lot of those kind of games. But yeah, we'll see. I'll probably touch base with you guys in about a month, maybe. Yeah, probably around a month. And yeah, until next time, peace.